Well, say hello to a brand new day. Say hello to the promises of God for you today. Say hello to your breakthrough. Okay. Say hello to your destiny. Say hello to your troubles are over. Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome you. Thank you for being here. I'm very excited in my heart. I've been looking forward to this day for quite a while now. Yeah. Great things happen when we choose to unite our hearts with heaven. And every now and then, God would show me something before the service, so when I come, I've got confidence that what he said is what he told me. So I've already seen a few signs of what he told me a week ago. So I've been excited. So that is for my encouragement, not your encouragement. Okay? That is for my encouragement. That is for when I doubt God, he proves himself. Okay? It's one of those things when Jesus says to the disciples on the day they're going to prepare the Last Supper, that you go to such a place, you're going to find a donkey outside. So when they go there and they find a donkey outside, okay, I think the rest of it must be right. So they would have the confidence to go and approach a stranger. Excuse me, the master says we're going to use your house today. Where you get that confidence? Whoa, we just saw the donkey outside. So I've seen a few donkeys. Yeah, you could be the donkey. I just want to share a few things quickly. Did I say quickly? Scrap that. Well, I will try. Barry, I have a title for a sermon. It's called Proof of Love. He wants fruits of love. Well, you'll get fruits of love after you get the proof. Let's start with a familiar passage. Let's go to Genesis 22. Genesis chapter 22. Are we there? Oh, we really don't mind getting there. You're going to trust me to read it for you? Can I read it in Swahili? Okay. This is the passage about God asking Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. I'm sure we've heard a lot of sermons about it, right? Yes. Why aren't you putting hands up? You have, haven't you? Yeah? Okay, the operative word being not mine. What I'm trying to say is I'm not preaching the other message about this. I just want to pick a few things to demonstrate or illustrate the heart of the Father to us this morning. Amen. So I'll read verse 1 and 2 and then skip to 16 to 18, if that's okay. If I read the whole passage, we might be here all day. And I'm sure we've got other things we want to be doing other than hearing me all day. Somebody doesn't? Okay. Verse 1. What does your verse 1 say? And verse 2. You hear what you say?
Yeah.
Does anybody's Bible say something different? Let's hear something that says different. Somebody with a microphone somewhere. Whose Bible says something different? Or says the same thing differently? What version is that? The Amplifier? It's too many words in it.
I like it. I like it too.
Okay. Anybody with a King James version? Okay. Over there on the corner, Bigley. Amen. Okay, those of you without the King James Version, it says, God tempted Abraham. Take your son and go kill him. And some of us would have said, hallelujah! I'm going to kill that boy. He's been pain in my backside. This is not that boy he's talking about. Okay. Some time later, that means after a lot of events, a lot of things have happened. So some time later, God tested. Your NIV says tested. Your King James Version says God tempted. Now, which becomes an instant contradiction with James 1:20, which says God does not tempt anybody. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yes.
So what instantly that tells you is that is a wrong word they used in translation because God cannot contradict himself. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we're going to scrap the word tested and we're going to look for a new word. So that's why they resorted to using the word tested. But even the word tested does not give you the full picture of what God is saying. It leaves you with half a picture that gives you a very wrong impression of God. Or rather, it gives you an understanding that God does not know what you think until he tests you. God had no idea what Abraham was thinking, so he had to test him to find out. Sorry? I'll accept that one. I'll give you 50% on that one. You see, when we are being tested in our logical understanding, then it is required of us to do everything we can do in our own strength and power to pass the test.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, which one of us, if God really tested us in his might, is going to pass any test? So therefore, whatever is missing and lacking in that way of thinking brings shame and condemnation to us. Because we didn't do well enough. We didn't perform well enough. We didn't live up to the standard as we should, or we didn't do what was expected of us good enough. And this is why, in our Christian walk, we are always walking in a crisis of belief or doubt, or our faith is always at the place of being questionable. Because we never get to a place of full confidence in understanding where we really are. So it becomes difficult to believe God if you know you're not going to do well in his testing. By very nature, the concept of testing nullifies the whole concept of grace. So, I'll go with the lady that had too many words. God proved Abraham. Now, who are the mathematicians here? Come on, it's gonna be one. Oh, him? Ha, okay, both of them. This is not a grammatical statement. This is a mathematical question. Remember, with every mathematical equation you are given, what is the one thing you are asked to do at the end? Prove the answer. Okay? You got the answer. Now you gotta prove. So this is a mathematical question other than a grammatical statement. So now, if you're going to prove an equation, you got to assume proving an equation is about identities. What is true on this side of the equation has to be true on the other side of the equation. What is expected of this kind of equation has to be expected on the other side of the equation. What can be done on this side of the equation has to be confirmed on this side of the equation.
Yes.
Are you understanding?
Yes.
I'm saying this because I know the Hebrew word used there for test is nasar, which means to prove, as to proof. That what you said is what it is, and what it is what was said.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Do you understand?
Yes.
It is about confirming the validity and the identity of what has been established. And what is expected on one end should also result or yield the same result on the other end. So this is not the testing of Abraham. This is the proving that whatever you're willing to do, Abraham, God will also do. Whichever length you're willing to go, God will also go. Whatever you're willing to give, God will also give. So in the other way of looking it, what God is asking Abraham is what God is trying to mirror the opposite into his own life. Are you understanding this? So if Abraham, you're going to give your most treasured son, the one you love, that means over here, I am also willing to give my most treasured son, whom I love. Did we just make sense there?
Yes.
So in one end, God is not asking Abraham to do something he himself is not willing to do. By extension, what he's saying is, what you can do is what I can do. To the same length you are willing to go is the same length I'm also willing to go.
What is my simple message to you this morning?
God will go for you for as long, as far, as hard as you're willing to go for him. You see, if you're going to prove Abraham's love, God has to prove his love to Abraham. Otherwise, it's an incomplete equation. Does that make sense? So when you think God is testing you, what he's saying, he's giving you an opportunity to see what he's wanting to do for you in reverse.
Yeah.
Why is he giving you an opportunity? For you to see what he's willing to do for you in reverse. It's not provable unless it can be quantified and reach the same conclusion on either side. Eh?
Amen.
So God gave Abraham an equation that whatever you can make through here on your end, I will make through here on my end. If you can make love so selfless and it holds nothing back, I will show you the same here. I will make love so selfless that will not hold anything back. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Thank you. You're making my job very easy. Then we can move on to other fun stuff.
Amen.
So sometime later, God tested Abraham and he said to him, Abraham, here I am, I replied. Take your son. Which son? The one you like. Not Ishmael, the one you sent away. We want the other one.
The one you kept for him, for yourself.
He was very specific, so there is no ambiguity or some loss in translation. If he just said, take your son, he would have called for Ishmael. Ishmael has died here. You want to come for a coffee, son? I got you some early Christmas presents. You want to see them? God was very clear. Because love is proved by giving what is most precious to us. We prove love by giving what is most precious to us. We don't prove love by how much we receive. Man, did you see what they gave me? They really love me. Did you see what I gave? I really love them.
Yes.
So love is proved by what we give. So if you can take your son, the one you really like, your favorite one, the one that means everything to you, the one that means your life, the one that if you give him away, your legacy ends. Anything of great value and promise to you stops there. Anything that typifies who you are, that when it's gone, it's as good as there was never an Abraham around. That one, you take him. And God gives, you see, how God uses Abraham, he says, you go, I'll go show you when you get there. But this is one particular detail he does not withhold back. He doesn't say, take your son to a mountain, I will show you, then I will tell you what you're going to do with him once you get there. He tells him point blank, the only place where he tells him point blank what's going to happen. When you take your son, we're going to kill him. To give Abraham enough time to really think it over and say, pass.
He gave him enough time to do what? Think it over. And you know how long it was going to take them to walk to the place where God was asking them to walk to? 3 days. So he was giving him how long? 3 days to think it over and change his mind and go back home. So the first day is like... Now, this is not just about Abraham. It is also about his son. You know what the Bible says? They led Jesus like what? A sheep to the slaughter. And did he protest? No, he willingly went. Side point. For most of us, we think when we said Isaac that he was a little boy. Anybody with that picture, the little boy? Okay. Here, when you read further, when they got there on the third day, they cut enough firewood to burn a whole person up. And Abraham carried. What did he carry? A knife and a pot of fire. And the boy carried the wood. Now, which little boy do you ever know can carry a whole bunch of wood rod to burn a whole person up a mountain? The point, Gian, is this boy was big enough that if he wanted to run, Abraham could have done nothing about it. And if he wanted to wrestle and tackle Abraham to the ground, he was well capable of doing that. Yet he willingly let his father tie him up. By the way, some theologians think he would have been about 25 years old. So that's why he was able to carry the whole load of wood up to the mountain the father could not carry. Okay, I said it was a side point. Let's come back to the film. Verse 16, that means we've skipped a whole heap of verses. The Lord says, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you've done this and have not withheld your son. Okay, the word I want you to remember is what? Have not withheld your son, your only son. I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. Thank you, Justin. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Making sense to anybody?
Yes.
So, the action of Abraham had a corresponding reaction from God. This is important. Because Abraham was willing to give everything, God released everything. Because Abraham was willing to release everything. The corresponding action, God was willing to give him everything. Because Abraham released everything, God released everything. Because Abraham withheld nothing, God withholds everything. Nothing. Okay. Making the sermon short. If you can let it go of everything of you to God, you are assured of experiencing everything in God. Okay, well, quickly, let's look at Romans 31, Romans 8, 31. This is one of our most favorite Bible quotes. Anyone knows what that is, Romans 8, 31? I want you to know it. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Yeah, what does it say? Okay, you see, that verse is a question. So most often we quote that verse, we're asking a question and we never get to the answer. Those of you with the Passion Translation, I'll give you this one. It says, so what does this all mean? Okay? So, what does this all mean? God has determined to stand with us. Tell me, who then can ever stand against us? Say, so then, tell me, if God has determined, I'll speak to Roger. Roger. Yes, God is determined. He's made up his mind about it. Yes. Nothing is going to dissuade him or persuade him otherwise. He's stoic about it. He's very British about it. He's so determined. He's like a dog with a bone. He's so determined to stand with you. He is so determined that even your, not yours, even my stupidity would not dissuade him. My stupidity is not going to dissuade him from standing with me. My doubt, my lack of faith, my questions are not going to dissuade him. He is so determined that anybody who wants to come against me, they might as well just give up. Are you hearing that? They might as well do what? Give up. Why? Because God is not going to relent. God is not going to let go.
Are you understanding? You don't look like you understand.
Say to your neighbor that God is determined to stand with me. Now, think of all those people that have been plotting against you and tell them, God is so determined to stand with me, you might as well give up. Are you understanding?
Yes.
So that's a question. Now, if you read long enough to verse 32, you're going to get the answer. So 32 says, for God has proved. For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. Did you just understand that?
Yes.
If Abraham can do it, God says, so can I. If Abraham can do it, so can I. And actually, I'm going to outgive Abraham. His son was so whiny, skinny, and sinny. I'm going to give my son, who's absolutely perfection in every way. So, I'm nearly at the end. Stay with me here. For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure.
What has God given you? What was God asking of Abraham to give?
That's what the word test means. It doesn't mean testing you. It means what you can do, God is going to do. And what you're doing is trying to show you by what he's asking you to do of what he's going to do for you. Do you understand that?
Understand?
Amen.
That means God had to do what? Balance the equation by mirroring the action. Now, that on itself, if you stop there, it's very wonderful. It's very nice. It's beautiful. But it doesn't end there. This is where my message for you is out. Okay? All of this that I've been saying is just an introduction to get this one little part. Okay? For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. Is this dead? Oh, he's alive.
Again. For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. Since God freely offered him up as a sacrifice for us all, punchline, he will certainly not withhold anything else he has to give. I don't know if anybody got it. You see, for Abraham not to withhold his most valuable possession from God, that means anything else God would ask for was of no value and was inconsequential. Yes. Are you understanding?
Yes.
So if God said, give me your 100 cows, Abraham would be like, whatever, I already gave you my best, you can take the rest.
Yes.
Are you understanding?
Yes.
Yeah, you look like you're listening, I'll just talk to you alone. So, now, what he's doing here is, forget the rest of it, okay? What he's doing here is, I've given you my most treasured possession, my son, who means everything to me, everything and anything in me, have given to you. And because I've given him, you, the most precious thing to me, anything else you ask is inconsequential. Now, if I've given you my most precious thing, why wouldn't I heal you? If I've given you my most treasured thing, why wouldn't I give you money? If I've given you everything that is of great value to me, why won't I help you? Because I did not withhold my very best, so anything else you could ever ask, I don't care, take it. Are you understanding? The point is, if he can give you Jesus, he's got no reason whatsoever to withhold healing.
Amen.
If he can give you Jesus, he's got no reason whatsoever to withhold a miracle.
Yeah.
If he can give you Jesus, he's got no reason whatsoever not to touch you.
Yeah.
Because he's already given you his first and most Are you understanding?
Yes.
It's more like, for example, get the brand new iPhone. What's the latest one these days? Oh, Samsung, those of you that like Samsung. And I say, I will give you, he looks like he wants one, I will give you this latest phone. You take the phone, you take the charger, you take the headphones, I'll just keep the box. Does that make sense to anybody? If I'm going to give you the phone, you might as well get the jolly box too. If I'm going to give you Jesus, well, you might as well get my money. You might as well get everything heaven contains. And this is why the Bible, everything that heaven contains has already been lavishly poured upon you. Why? Because there was no reason withholding what heaven contains if heaven already released its greatest prize. Are you understanding?
Yes.
This is why I'm very confident. This is why I'm very confident. Like I say, that by virtue of you being here, whatever you came here for is settled.
Yes.
Why am I confident that whatever you came here is settled? Because he gave you his most prized possession, and he's got no reason whatsoever to keep the phone box.
Yeah.
Oh, you can get my phone. Can I just keep the Apple sticker? Am I going to make sense to anybody?
Yes.
So for you to think God won't heal you, it's like you're thinking he's given you Jesus, but he's just going to keep the box.
Yes.
Whatever was of great value to him, he willingly offered. And whatever is left in heaven is of less value. This is why everything that heaven contains has already been
lavished.
Are you understanding? Am I made my case for your healing, for your miracle, for your breakthrough convincing enough? Yes. You see, we've been crying for lesser things. Well, he's given us the grand prize. He's like, can I take back this Kia thing, this Mercedes Benz? Give me that little Hyundai.
No.
Anybody ever does that? This Mercedes Benz is so expensive and so comfortable. Just give me the Ford back. Who trades in things of greater value for things of less value? Somehow we expect God to do that. Now, here's a quick thing you gotta understand. God heals you, not because you deserve it. Okay? God heals you not because you deserve it. He heals you because there's no point withholding that from you because he already gave you his best. God will deliver you not because we've worked up righteousness about it. God does what he does for us, for the salvation of our souls. That is important to maintaining your healing after you've received it. Why did he heal you? Why is he going to heal you? Because he's interested in the salvation of your soul. Church people don't understand this. We've been told for us to be healed by God, we've got to be holy and perfect. That just disqualifies all of us. Right? To be healed, we just have to believe that, well, he gave Jesus, I might as well take the healing as well. If he's giving me Jesus, I might as well get that financial breakthrough. If he's giving me Jesus, I might as well take that deliverance, freedom, or whatever that is. This is why the Bible, David says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. He's the one who does what? Who heals you, sustains you, delivers you, and who does that very long list. That is a benefit of your salvation. It's not the prerequisite, but a benefit. Does that make sense to anybody? So let me put it this way. Regardless of your state, you can be healed. Yes. But your state matters in sustaining and maintaining your healing.
Yes.
Okay, does that make sense?
Yes.
What that means is everybody can be healed, but not everybody can maintain their healing. Because healing is for the benefit of your salvation of your soul. So the opposite is true. If God will not withhold anything from you because he's given you his greatest treasure, why would you hang on to a benefit and not the greatest treasure? Does that make sense? Why would you just want to take healing and not take Jesus as well? Why would you just want to take your breakthrough and not take Jesus as well? Eh? Okay, if that makes sense, we can all stand. So that be the case, can we just take some time and do things that really matter? What are the things that matter the most? The greatest prize of all is Jesus. Everything else is an add-on. Healing is an add-on. It's a benefit. Breakthrough is a benefit. Deliverance is a benefit. Everything else is just an add-on. I know some of us have been thinking, some of us have been back and forth, but what I want to ask us to do before we go into ministry is take time to do things that matters the most. Is our life connected with the giver of life? Is your life connected to the author, to the originator of all good things? So you can now pray for me. I know some of you have done it. Some of you will do it. Dear Jesus, thank you so much that you willingly laid your life for me. And as you willingly laid your life for me, today I choose to willingly lay my life for you. Let all that is true in your life for me be true in my life for you. I ask you to forgive me of every sin every evil thought.
And I choose to release
every offense that I've carried in my heart.
I choose to release
anything that will prevent me from benefiting from the life you give. In Jesus' name. Amen. You see, the gospel and the kingdom of God is that easy. Anything more than that is too much work. So we will pray, we will minister with as many as you that are looking for a breakthrough and looking for everything. I'm so excited about what God is doing and is going to do in your lives. And like I said, I'm so confident that because you are here, your case is settled. The last time, last Sunday, I was ministering, I think I talked about Psalm 139, verse 16. That God wrote down all the days of your life in his book. Remember that?
Yes.
And one of the things the angels of the Lord were doing for each one of us that came in here this morning, he cross-checked God's purposes for your life and what has to be done in your life today. So that means there is no issue, there's no circumstance, there's no heart cry that is brought before the Lord that would escape the anointing and his grace.
Yes, Lord.
So for some of us, as we minister, pray for you, it doesn't matter whether you feel something or not. What matters is he's done something. Okay? So some of you might feel nothing, and some of you might feel everything. Okay? Some of you would fall, some of you would cry, some of you would scream. Whatever is happening in the person next to you, it doesn't matter. What matters is the grace of God has reached you. So whether it is by the laying on hands or by praying or by using of any medium like anointing oil or anointing water, whichever way it happens, God will reach you, will bless you, and God will bring a breakthrough for you and in you. So before we do other things, I just want to take time to pray and minister to people that came here because of healthy challenges this morning. You got some health issue, you want God to touch you. You just come over here. That's a good place to be. I see you where you are. Just stay where you are. I'll come to you.
Yes.
Okay. For those of us that have come here for whatever health thing, depending on what your health issue is, for some of us, we're going to know immediately that God has touched you because if it was hurting, it stopped. Okay? So for some of us are going to know immediately. For some of us might need to go try it or test it out. Or whichever way that is. Now, let me tell you a little secret about faith. Okay? Faith is in the moment. Faith is in the present. That means faith acts when? Now. Faith believes now. Faith receives now. What I'm trying to say to you is, you don't have to have the mindset that I receive prayer, I'll give it a few days. You can wait a few days, or you can just receive now. Does that make sense to anybody?